So last week we found ourselves going into the wilderness with Jesus to be there for those 40 days as we begin our own Lenten journey, to be there, you know, stripped away of those things that can get in the way of our relationship with God, that can prevent us from hearing the voice of the Father, making that same declaration that Jesus heard at his baptism, that we were meant to hear at our baptism, that you are my precious child, that you are the one in whom I find my delight, my joy. So often we can't hear that voice. So often we get distracted. And so this week we hear of another man who was led into the wilderness. In this case, it's this bizarre and frightening and really terrible kind of story of Abraham. You know, he'd been longing for a child. In Genesis 12, we know that the Lord appeared to him and invited him, leave your father, leave your family, leave your country, and go to a place where I will show you. And there I will make you to be the father of a great nation. So he and Sarah were both getting old and both appeared to be barren because they hadn't been able to conceive any children until this point. And you know, there's this long, drawn-out process and period, and finally, Sarah conceives a son. And she so delights in this that she laughs, and so they call his name Isaac. And here in Genesis 22, you know, this provocative way that the Lord again almost gives the exact same directions to Abraham. Go back into the wilderness to a place where I will show you. But now there's a twist. Take your son, your only son, the son whom you love. It's the very first place in Scripture that we hear this Hebrew word for love. Ahava. It's the very first place, very first time in the story that we've heard this word love. You know, we hear that the Bible is a love story, and yet this is the first time that we hear this word. The son whom you love, and go and sacrifice him. You know, make of him a burnt offering on this mountain. And our heads should be exploding at this point. You know, we shouldn't take this as just the ordinary kind of thing that you expect to hear and to read in Scripture. This should disturb us. It's a deeply disturbing reading. And we should be confronted by it because this is bizarre. What on earth is God thinking? Why would he invite Abraham to take his son, your only son, the son whom you love, go into the wilderness and sacrifice him? It is bizarre. And when we read a passage like this, we should walk away with at least 100 different questions. You know, it's meant to rock us. It's meant to invite us into all kinds of reflections about what the heck is going on here. What is this about? And yet, Isaac somehow seems to be complicit in all of this. As they go along, we don't have the dialogue. It's typical of our readings in the lectionary. They've kind of taken the scissors and cut out some of the good bits. But we get the essence, I guess. But he goes to this place, builds an altar, and Isaac's like, Father, you know, here is the fire, here is the wood for the offering. But where is the lamb? Where is the lamb of sacrifice? And then Abraham gives this declaration. God himself will provide the sacrifice, my son. And we don't know how, you know, prophetic he was trying to be in that little my son, whether he's simply answering the question or whether he knows that, you know, it's my son that will be the sacrifice. And we're just given this briefest of descriptions that Abraham then binds his son. He takes the rope, you know, and ties up Isaac. He's there, you know, wrapping this rope around his son. When I was here 6 years ago, I demonstrated this. We acted it out, but I won't do that today. But, you know, this just this experience of actually tying someone up. You know, Isaac is not a young kid. He's old enough. He's strong enough. Abraham's an old man for this stage. You know, Isaac could easily have overpowered his father. And yet, he somehow has the faith and the strength that he's inherited from Abraham to accept this and to allow his father to bind him. In Hebrew, it's the word akedah. And it's this profound moment. It's in Jewish tradition, this passage is always focused just on this one act of the binding. It's called the akedah sacrifice. And it's this mysterious moment that Isaac somehow finds that strength to be able to say yes in this moment. And then he's there lying bound on the altar of sacrifice. And then you know, Abraham then grabs the knife. Robert Alter's translation, his new translation of the Hebrew scriptures, he calls the cleaver. And, you know, in some ways it seems like the most appropriate kind of image, of that sense of just there. You know, imagine his son is there, lying on the altar, and Abraham is there with this whopping great knife, ready to slice his across his throat. And again, it's meant to disturb us. You know, what is this? How are we meant to understand this? And yet Abraham is there, ready, you know, the hand striking, the hand about to come down upon his son, his only son, the son whom he loves, to offer this sacrifice. And it's there in this moment. I mean, Abraham has already been tested so many times since leaving from his own land to come to the promised land. And so many times he's failed. So many times he's proved that he's a liar and he's deceitful and he's cunning and he's unable to live with that life of integrity. But in this moment, when the knife is there in his hand, poised, ready to strike, somehow he's able to go through, perhaps trusting that God will raise his son from the dead, perhaps trusting that something will happen to intervene. And indeed it does. The angel of the Lord appears to him and holds back his hand and says, "No, you don't need to go through with your sacrifice. You don't need to make this offering." For us, as we go into the gospel today, as we're there in that moment, when Jesus is there transformed, changed for us, when we see the reality of who he is, not just a good man, but indeed the Son of God, calling us, inviting us. Abraham was able to simply answer to God. In Hebrew it's Hineni, here I am. Here I am. It's the answer to his question. Perhaps that's all we need to do each day during the season of Lent, to just keep saying to God, Hineni, here I am. I am your beloved child. Even though I don't accept that sometimes, even though I find it so difficult to believe that you could love me, Hineni, here I am. Use me. Do with me what you will. Continue to do your work in me. Continue to bring that life about in me. God, I need you. I desperately need you. I can't do this myself. I can't get through this by myself. But with you I can. So God, Hineni, here I am.